Hey guys, welcome in NRL Supercoach Therapy Podcast, the round five preview. Couldn't do a round four review. I could have, but chose not to. The Monday game kind of threw me a little bit, and with work and not feeling the best, feeling a bit crook, just didn't get around to it. So, look, not a great round for old Shano and the Tomahawks. What did I score? 949. Dropped down to 40,000th in the rankings, so not looking great. The trades that I did make, you know, they were okay. Cleary to Brooks made sense, and Brooks just didn't work out against St. George, but no one from Manly did. Levi to Coruscant, I was happy with that one, even though Levi dotted down. Of course he did. He's a try-scoring freak, and I'm happy having Coruscant there at hooker, and he'll probably stay there for the rest of the year. And I went Mulitalo to Holmes. And, of course, Mulitalo scores a double, but I'm happy. I'm happy seeing Holmes there in my team. Yeah, I think he's a season-long keeper there. So used a boost. You know, it would have been better if Brooks had scored well for me. I had Metcalf with the two, but, you know, that's just how it goes. And, yeah, not a great score, but onwards and upwards we move on. And the footy in general was, I don't know, was it any good? I don't think it was all that great. There were some rubbish games. Some really piss-poor performances in round four. Purely NRL perspective-wise, there's some fucking terrible games. And, yeah, the standards, yeah, it's, I don't know, it's not where we want it to be. And, yeah, that'll happen when we've got so many good players that are injured at the moment and in key positions as well. It makes it tough. I mean, I thought, I mean, the Panthers were ultra-impressive against the Roosters. Rabbitohs did what they had to do against the Bulldogs without being great. The Broncos really good against the Cowboys. You know, Reynolds just kicked them to death, and the Cowboys made so many blunders. It wasn't funny. Seagulls were terrible. The Dragons were moderately better to win that game. Dolphins were pretty impressive against the Titans, who are just in so much strife. It's not funny. The Warriors Knights was a pretty good game, I thought, and the Warriors were, you know, the better team for the majority of that game and did, you know, I wouldn't say did enough to win. I think they won it pretty well in the end. And the Knights, are, you know, they only had the one win for the year. They're playing better than that. Look for them to bounce back in the next month or so, I think. Sharks Raiders was a funny old game. It was 18-0 Raiders, then tied up at 18-all, and then the Sharks just ran away with it. Good bounce back for them, and I picked the Raiders to win that game. And the Eels Tigers, also, I mean, it was a fun close game at the end, but the standard wasn't that great either. And good on the Tigers for picking up the golden point. Was it the golden point? No, they just won it in normal time, didn't they? And Gutho had the chance at the end there and missed it. So yeah, overall, the standard wasn't super great. And let's hope for better as we kick in to round five. Which starts tonight. Storm and the Broncos. A bit of a rivalry here going back a long way. Like most Storm rivalries, it's one-sided. And as a Broncos supporter, this has always been a game I've chalked up as an L. We just can't beat these blokes. And I know last year was a little bit different. This Melbourne side, though, ooh, they look good. They welcome back some stars. We'll see if Munster plays. He's been named, but Bellamy hasn't exactly been convincing leading into this game about whether Munster actually does play or not. So if you look at this Melbourne side, it's very close to full strength with Pappenhausen, Warbrick, Smith, Meaney, Coates, Munster, Hughes, Kamakamitha, Grant, King, Bloor, Katoa, Liero, Wishart, Welch, Moroa, and McDonald is the bench there. I believe at the cutoff, the 24-hour cutoff, Pezzett and Howarth, I think, were the 18th and 19th. I'm pretty sure that's what I read. Pezzett in there, I mean, that's a tell, isn't it, that they're not convinced on Munster's fitness, which is interesting. Hughes back is huge for them. I think Pappenhausen is just really warming into things. Remember they had the bye before that. He scored the double, and I don't mind Pappenhausen if you want to move on from one of your fullbacks. Yeah, you can do a lot worse than get in Pappenhausen. A part of me is really tempted to get Harry Grant. His break even's pretty high, but you can get him in and you can just leave him there. And my God, it looks good. in your side. For me personally, it would be Grant and Coruscant, and I don't have to worry about hooker, and I've got two plays each week. It's very tempting to do that. Whether I do or not, if I do, it's probably going to be using a boost to do it, when I'm not too keen on that. Harry Grant might wait. It does also go against my my plan at hooker, where I was really, and I probably will do it depending on how Brayley goes for the night over the weekend. If Brayley looks good, it's going to be tough because it's supposed to be torrential rain in Newcastle, but if Brayley looks good and is playing decent minutes, I was going to go Lussick down to Brayley, maybe make about $100,000 and go from there, because I just think Brayley is, you know, if he's going to be back to the kind of player we know he can be when he's not getting bloody knee reconstructions and hamstring injuries, he's incredibly undervalued there. He's going to be around $300,000 or close to it. So, yeah, there's a lot of value there. Or do you buy up and you just get the quality of Grant, who you know can ton up at any time? Interesting play there. I don't mind Ali Katoa either as a bit of a pod in the second row. Won't be too many owners of Ali Katoa, and he's a strike weapon, man. And with Hughes there and with Munster, he'll be strike weapon for sure. Let's look at those Broncos. Saylor at the back, Arthur Staggs, Cobbo, Mariner, Mam, Reynolds, the four-pack, Jensen, Walters, Baker, Hunt, Ricky, and Carrigan. The bench, Smoothie, Takura with a debut, Hetherington, and Oates. So, yeah, no Willison. I believe he picked up a wee injury there, which sucks for owners of Willison, because, you know, it was likely that he was probably going to be a buy for a few this week as well, to pick up to maybe shore up your front row or downgrade somewhere and bank a bit of cash. Look, Saylor at the back, I really like him. I think he's really good. Arthurs is someone who, like, I'm an Arthurs owner. A part of me really wants to sell him this week, but the Broncos draw does open up. And with the strike they've got on their side, you can easily see, you know, Arthurs could be plodding along. He's not a base guy at all. I think he only got like 11 or 12 in base last week, but a lot of that might have been due to the fact that the Cowboys, their completion rate was terrible. So they weren't kicking into the corners where the wingers pick it up and run it back and you pick up your base points there. They kept dropping the ball before they even got to the kick. And Arthurs has scored 3 tries in 4 games, so he's a try scorer. But yeah, I don't know. A part of me wants to sell him, but I know if I do and that draw opens up, and with Porkchop coming back and with the strike they've got, you know, he could be struggling away on 10, 12, 15 points. All of a sudden he gets put through for a try and he's nudging 50 without doing a hell of a lot. And it's probably why I got him in the first place. He was he was mid threes or 370, I think, starting wing on a really good team. So I'm probably going to hold. If I can, I won't play him this week, which I don't feel comfortable about either. My numbers are pretty skinny in terms of having 17. I don't like benching guys on a Thursday night. If there's guys I can play in the early rounds, I definitely want to play him. It's just saves any issues down the track further on in the round. But depending how things go, I may or may not have to play him. Other guys there, I mean, I'd steer clear of Jaden Hunt. I know he's cheap and he's starting again, but I'd steer clear there. I think Carrigan's a great buy. I really think Carrigan's a good buy. He's playing such good footy, playing really big minutes, with or without Haas. I don't think you can go wrong. If you just want to shore things up in that second row position, which has been a real tricky one to start the year. Remember, we all thought, look at all these mid-rangers. This is going to be great. No dramas. It hasn't panned out well at all. And if you just want to solidify things, I think Carrigan's probably your best option there in the second row. Just to solidify things there, have a guy that can score. You know, he'll give you 60s every week with upside. He's got plenty of upside there. Other than that, there's not a hell of a lot doing. Takura is a watch. You got to wait and see. If he comes out and brains it, you've got to think there's going to be a spot on the bench for him going forward. But there's Willison, who they do like as well. They're going to stick with Smoothie and have the two hookers, and you've got to think they're going to stick with Oates for that utility value there. So maybe Willison comes back at the expense of Hetherington. You've still got Haas to come back, which means probably Baker drops drops back to the bench, or does he move out altogether? It's an interesting time at the Broncos. Look, this game, I can't pick him. I'm picking the Storm with or without Munster. Just too much quality. They always beat the Broncos, and this won't change this week. Storm 22, Broncos 18. Although I'm hoping for a high-quality game. I'm not expecting a Broncos win. A high-quality game would be nice to start off round five. Right, Friday night. This will be interesting. It is the Dogs hosting the Roosters. The weather is supposed to be absolutely terrible, which isn't great for attacking players. Not really too much attack of the Dogs, but if you've got attacking Roosters, your Dom Youngs, your Tedescos, guys like that, even against the Dogs team, it might be a struggle. The game might be played in that middle third, as they say. So, yeah, hold your breath there. Let's look at the Doggies team. Taff, Wilson, Carras, Crichton, Tracy, Burton, Hutchison, King, Marnie, Hughes is starting. So that's an interesting watch. Kickout, Curran moves to the edge, and Salmon is locked forward. Mann, Edwards, Knight, and Katonga, who I think might be on debut there. I'm pretty sure he's a second rower. So that'll be interesting to see what happens there if they give him a nudge in the second row and they move Curran back into the middle, see how Curran goes. Curran's a really interesting one. He is now more at what he probably should have started at. He was definitely value at 420. Now he's around that 508, 510, I think, something like that. So the value's not really, I mean, the value's still there. I just think he's more, that's more what he should be, what he should be worth. Let's just check that. I just want to check what he's at. I'm pretty sure he's 500 and something. As we find him. Yeah, 507. So, yeah, I mean, I still think Curran's a good buy. He's going to be on the edge for at least 3 weeks. I think Preston was going to be out for 3 weeks. So he's more value. He's more at his correct value now. Yes, you miss out on that money that he's made, but I still think he's worth it. Interesting to see if he's going to become a jewel now that he's playing in the second row for the next few weeks. You would think, will he become a jewel? If that was more clear and they came out and said, yeah, come round six or whenever they change positions, Curran will become front row, second row. I think he's super valuable to have on your side. If you can have him in the front row, he would be, yeah, that would be gold. But whether it happens or not, I mean, if you're bringing him in just on the hope that he gets dual positioning, you might be shit out of luck. You might be really disappointed in a few weeks' time if they don't make that change because he's playing second row. And the argument is he playing, has he been playing as a lock or has he been playing as a prop? Really, if you're coming off the bench and you're playing in the middles, you're playing as a prop, aren't you? I mean, it's hard because he doesn't have an 8 or a 10 on a back on his back, and he doesn't have a 13. He's got 16 on his back. So is he a prop or is he lock? It's basically the same role he's playing, either or. So, and if you're a lock, you're a second rower. Paddy Carrigan, Cam McInnes, Victor Radley, Cam Murray, you know. So, yeah, if you want to, if you're bringing him in for that reason, yeah, you might be disappointed. In saying that, I still think he's a pretty good buy. I'm not expecting much attack, even if it's against a weaker side on a dry track with him in the second row. The base will come down with him being out there. The base has been really good with him. He's about a point a minute guy in the middle. So on the edge, expect that to drop down. Maybe a bit more attack. I wouldn't expect it on Friday night with heavy rain and a good Roosters defense in his face. So I can see merit in buying him and seeing merit and just letting him go through, and that's probably what I'm going to do. I'm going to let him go through. The Hughes one is interesting. If Hughes is starting and he's been named, don't see why they'd play silly buggers there. There's risk that he plays maybe the first 20, 25, and then he's done. The fact that they've got, I think the pronunciation, I'm going with Kaltonga. With him, there is a concern that Hughes plays 20, 25, goes off, then Curran moves into the middle and Katonga goes onto the edge, and that's the last we see of Hughes. He might come on for another stint, maybe play another 15 later on in the game. We'll wait and see. It's, that's it. When you when you're starting, there's every likelihood that you're going to be doing that. They've got Edwards and they've got Knight on that bench as well. So many questions there. I mean, most of us own Hughes. It's more of a fact that do you want to play him or not? I wouldn't risk it, just personally. I'd rather not play him. And if he comes out and he plays a traditional double stint as a starting front roller, say 40 to 45 minutes and pumps out a point a minute, happy, happy days. You're stoked with that. You're not necessarily going to be playing him anytime soon, but the cash generation is going to be there. So, yeah, interesting. That's enough Dogs talk. Let's talk some Chookies. Tedesco, Tupou Suoli'i, Manu Young, Kiri Walker, Warrior Hargrave, Smith, Collins is back. Nat Butcher, Angus Crichton is now your starting second row of Victor Radley, the bench, Watson, White, Tupanua, and May. All over the shop, this team, aren't they? They just can't seem to land on what kind of second rows they wanna have. They love having a second rower on the bench there. For Angus Crichton, who's very, very cheap for what we know the kind of player he is, having Tupanua on the bench is concerning. If he comes out and kills it, plays really, really well, and starts next week, you can get him pretty cheap. He's got a high break even because he's had limited minutes off the bench. He's valued under 400 grand, so you can pick him up really cheap next week, but you're really rolling the dice here. I mean, I'm a Wong owner, and serves me right. I just thought they started with Wong. They obviously liked what he did in the preseason. He's going to be their starting second row. I didn't even think he'd done that much wrong to get dropped, but so I think maybe Crichton is a watch, but geez, you just can't trust what's going on with this team. I think Terrell May is a play for sure, even off the bench. Happy to play him. I will be playing him. Get that early Friday game, get that front rower sorted. If it's with the weather, I don't know if there'll be too much second phase play. It might just be told, tuck it under the wing there. But the base stats should be good. If there's a lot of the games can be played in the middle of the field there, that's a lot of base for your front rowers. Another reason why Hughes might be someone you want to play as well. And I think if you got May, I think you definitely play him. Don't be scared that he's on the bench. Tedesco owners, Dom Young owners, could be a real hold your breath moment. I wouldn't expect big scores in this game, even against the Dogs. The weather really brings them into it, drags the Roosters right down. I still think the Roosters win. I'm going to say Roosters 20, Bulldogs 12. What could be pretty sloppy conditions there at a core. Right. Third game, the Friday night late game. Well, is for us over here in NZ. It's the Knights and the Dragons. This one's up in Newcastle. Newcastle, they really need a win here. They are on a did they play on Sunday. So that's a 5-day turnaround plus a trip back from Auckland. So not easy for the Knights. Hosting the Dragons, who did what they needed to do in beating a pretty underwhelming Manly side last week. So this one's going to be pretty evenly fought out, I would have thought. Look at the sides here. Ponga, Jenkins, Gagai returns, Best, Tuala. Cogger, Hastings is back, so another halves combination. So that's a problem for Newcastle. What's this, their third or fourth halves combination so far? Maybe their third. Brayley is starting at hooker. He is a watch for sure. He's someone I might look to bring in next week. Depending how Lussick performs and how Brayley performs, he's a watch for sure. Thompson, Pierce, Paul, and Elliott. The bench, Crossland, Saifidi, Hetherington, Croker. So Thompson returns there at the front row as well. So, look, Pierce Paul, I think, is a really good buy, regardless of the weather. Look, the base has been really strong for him. No scoring as yet, but the base and the power has been very strong for Pierce Paul. Yes, he's made some money, so you're not getting him at bottom dollar. Don't worry about that. I think he's getting closer to what his real value is. In fact, I think his value is more around the 600 mark, to be honest with you. So, and once Newcastle click, I think we're going to see that. So I think Pierce Paul's a great option. He's a great buy this week. I'm almost certainly buying him. I need to shore things up in my second row, and he does that for me. So he's almost certainly coming into my side. Ponga owners, I'd be a little concerned with the weather. He was great last week. But he looked like their only real threat for Newcastle. Just fast, just evasive, so much skill, so silky. Again, the fitness is a bit of a concern. A lot of the time there in the second half, and there's a bit of a pattern emerging here. He's starting to struggle a bit in the second half, and he's running out of juice. So I think they need to try and manage him a little bit, just a little bit. And I think Hastings and Cogger need to pick up the load a bit more there and use him more for quality rather than quantity because you know what his touches are. It's all quality. So, and but you don't want him running out of juice in the 65th minute because you're going to need him to win your games. And that's not happening for Newcastle. They're 1-3. So this team, so much relies on Ponga. The weather really doesn't help at all for someone as fleet-footed as Ponga. So wait and see their Ponga owners, maybe dampen those expectations a little bit. At St. George, Sloan, Lomax, Sully, Bird, Ravalawa, Flanagan and Hunt. Molo, Little, DeBellin is back in the front row. In fact, there's two front rowers there. Le Lewis, Sua, Eisenhuth, Marski, Laurie, Molo, Fotello, Mariner. Hamasele drops out, which is interesting. So look, I think they've played silly buggers every game so far this year and not run out 1-17 for St. George. So expect the changes there. The Lomax news is interesting that he's been given the green light to look for other sides, and it looks like Parramatta is the team. I wouldn't expect I've said this a few times, I wouldn't expect anything to happen this year at all. I think he's going to stay at St. George this year and move on after that, most certainly. I don't mind him as a buy, but not this week. I just don't expect a lot of points with the weather this week. But he's doing a really good job, as is Eisenhuth. Again, that break he made, he was just bending away and running. And he's a good, like I've said it a few times, he's a good player. He's a really good player. And we're starting to see a little bit more of it, which is great because I really like Eisenhuth. Otherwise, not a lot doing here at the Dragons. Flanagan, maybe if you, I don't know. Flanagan would become an option if Lomax was to leave, and Flanagan would become the goal kicker. So a few extra points there might be an option. Oh, I'm going to go, I've got to take the Knights at home. I'm going to go Knights 16, Dragons 14. Back in a minute. Okay, Super Sad Day kicks off. South Sydney hosting the Warriors at Accor. This game, I'm not sure if the weather's going to pass by Saturday, but the fact that they're playing on the Friday night and then backing up again in the morning, we'll see how choppy that ground gets. So something to watch there. Let's look at South Sydney coming off their first win of the year over the Dogs. Look, they did enough to win. They weren't great. You know, and the Dogs are the Dogs. The Rabbitohs weren't great, and I think the Warriors can smash them through the middle. So that's where I'm kind of leaning early. Let's look at this Rabbitohs side. Mitchell, Thompson, Whiten, Tass, Milne, Walker, Hawkins, Totola, Cook, Burgess, Kalamatangi, Host, and Murray, with Cheekam, Duncan, Kepi, Mowali on the bench. It's a good side. It's a good side for sure. Thompson gets a return to first grade there with the injury to Alex Johnson, which sucks for him. And if you're a Gagai owner there, not the good Gagai, the other one, then, you know, maybe you're hoping for to jag another game or two. Not to happen. Thompson comes back. Thompson was really strong for them last year, I thought. A few errors in his game, but you get that with wingers, you know. I thought he's pretty strong. They need that ball running coming out of the back. I see a lot of improvement in South. They can improve so much. I don't know if it's going to happen this week, though. That forward pack is the concern. Totola is, I don't think he's the player they're hoping. He's not. He's just not an enforcer. Doesn't have that aggression. He's not an enforcer. Burgess kind of is, but he can't get big minutes out of Burgess. And then the bench, Kepi just full of mistakes, and Mowali still only young and still only learning. So, yeah, I just think this Warriors team is going to be too strong in the middle for them. You look at the Warriors side, holy dooly. Nickel Klokstad returns at fullback. Really stoked to have him back. He was such a good player for them last year. Such a great link man. Those right-hand sweeps that they had, and he was just all over it. So really stoked he's back. Watini Zalesniak, Berry, Tuivasa-Sheck reverts back to center. Montoya, Tamari Martin is 5'8 with the broken leg to Luke Metcalf. So Tamari Martin comes in at 5'8. Johnson, then the forward pack, Fanua Blake, Egan Barnett, Ford, Niokore, who was in for Capewell, who had some headaches after the game. So they've decided to keep him in Auckland and give him a week to freshen up. Tohu Harris is lock forward and captain of the side. Lusick, Ale, Afor, and Tavanga on the bench. So Harris DeVita doesn't even make the bench, which is interesting. I thought he might have got a jagged a spot. You see how handy it was having him there last week. Metcalf breaks his leg after 10 minutes. Harris DeVita comes in and does a good job at 5'8". So there might be a late change there. We'll wait and see. Boy, this team looks so good having Nickel Klokstad at fullback. I know everyone was in raptures over RTS at the back, and you know he was great. And that move, that left foot, and then the boomfa on Adam Elliott was, you know, highlight real stuff. But this team overall is far stronger with RTS at center, Nickel Klokstad at fullback. I think we'll see that over the coming weeks when they get their combinations going again, because the attack has been a little clunky. It was a bit better on the weekend. I think Nickel Klokstad coming back will hopefully they can just get into their groove. That's right. It's a bit more like what we were doing last year. And you watch Rockstar DWZ scoring tries in the corner. And look, it's just good signs there for the Warriors, who look very, very strong, even though they are 2-2 to start the year. Jackson Ford, I talked about him last week. I talked about him and he delivered. And he's gone up a little bit in price. I don't think you can go wrong. He's an 80-minute man for the Warriors. Webster loves him. He's doing a great job. He's a good foil there for their halves. I like Jackson Ford. He's playing really, really well too. Sean Johnson, I can totally understand getting on Sean Johnson. I watched him pretty closely, and he was on the ball a lot. And both sides of the field. And maybe that had to do with Metcalf being injured as well, and he just wanted to take the pressure off Harris DeVita. I totally get that. So he might not take as much of the ball this week. Martin's an experienced campaigner and can handle things. So, but yeah, Johnson, even though he scored, I think he scored about 70, he could have scored a lot more. There's a couple of short balls that could have, you know, were almost tries. A couple of repeat sets. He loves a repeat set that didn't quite happen, so he could have easily turned up, I thought, Sean Johnson. If you've got Sean Johnson, happy days, and he is a serious buy, I think, because their draw really opens up, and I think he's going to be all over it. He's a serious buy while Cleary is injured. I'm totally in for that, and kind of umming and ahhing myself. Tohu Harris is someone if you want to, again, in that Carrigan kind of mold, if you want to solidify things in the second row, I can totally understand going Tohu. He's not going to let you down. Same can be said for Cam Murray at the Bunnies. If you want to go that way, I can get around that. Otherwise, I mean, Lusick to Cook, I don't mind that. I don't reckon Cook's playing Origin. Lusick to Cook, he could go that way. You know, the Cook's got a lot of upside in him. Jack Whiten, let's just wait and see. I mean, he did pump out a ton. If you want to move on and get a Whiten, I can understand it. If you're a Latrell owner, what are you going to do there? I'm not convinced on Latrell. Not much attack the last few weeks. I don't know. I think if you want to move on him, maybe this weekend, maybe isn't the time, because attacking guys like Teddy and Ponga are playing in wet conditions. If you want to go up to Drinky, I'm all for that. Turbo's got the Panthers. So, Pappenhausen, not a bad option either. So, yeah, look, this game, Warriors 18, Rabbitohs 16. I think it'll be pretty close. And I've picked close games pretty much every game this round. But I think the Warriors are just the superior team. and they'll have too much for South Sydney, even though the game is at a core. Give me the Warriors. Right, middle game on Super Saturday, and we are up at Brookvale. Manly coming off a very disappointing game against the Dragons, hosting the Penrith Panthers, who are just flying, nine-day rest. They played last Thursday. Manly, seven-day rest. So, you know, not much in that. But look, I'm expecting a bounce back from Manly. I don't think they can play as bad as what they did against the Dragons. And I'm expecting them to bounce back and play really strong this week. I'm not picking them to win. They're playing Penrith. Don't be silly. But I'm expecting a bounce back game. Look at this side. Trbojevic, Talau, Kula, Garrick, Barlow, Brooks, Cherry Evans, Paseka, Croker, Lea, Olakuatu, Trbojevic, Trbojevic. So the team's pretty much the same. Lawton, Waddell, Sipley, and Brown. So the team pretty much stays the same. If we look at Penrith, Edwards, Taruva, Tungo, May, To'u, Luai, Schneider, who was rock solid last week, Leota, Kenny, Fisher-Harris comes back, which is big, Garner, Martin, Yeo, Laurie, Smith, Henry, Eisenhuth. So Smith goes back to the bench. Gee, he was good. He was good last week. Started in the middle, had to go to an edge when Martin got injured, and he just did a good job. Leon Henry played bigger minutes and was excellent. So owners are stoked with how he's going. I've got him, and I'm going to play him this week. I'm happy to play him. I'd rather Liam Henry score over maybe one of the wingers who, you know, who might struggle to get 20. I'll take Liam Henry's, you know, 30 to 40 points playing, you know, those kind of minutes off the bench. Maybe Fisher-Harris plays limited minutes just coming back. I still expect big minutes for Liam Henry. Even though Smith is ahead of him in the pecking order for sure, and even Eisenhuth sometimes will come on. You know, having Eisenhuth there, because he's a very, very reliable first grader, so I don't think Ivan Cleary has any issues with having Eisenhuth there. You can rely on him. You can bring him on in the third minute, or you can bring him on in the 53rd minute, you know. At Manly, look, if you're a Tommy Turbo owner, myself, I'm holding. They've got Penrith and the Warriors the next couple of weeks, which, you know, but I'm just, he can't play as bad as he did last week, and I'll back a champion to bounce back for sure. It's kind of starting to give me Teddy vibes from early last year, and I kept backing Teddy in, and he kept struggling. But I'll stick with Tommy. There's a little, if the weather was going to be fine, there was certainly an option to maybe go to Ponga. Even though I went Ponga to Turbo a couple of weeks ago and bounced back again. But with the weather, I'll stick with Turbo. Luke Brooks, yikes. I traded in Luke Brooks last week thinking, you know what, the draw isn't great for the few weeks where Cleary's out, but the fact that he's got the Dragons this week, hopefully he can score a lot of points there, and I'll take 30s and 40s the next few weeks. And then once Cleary's back, I've got that dual option there. I can slide him down to 5'8", do what I need to do with Brooks. So I stand by the trade. Didn't really work out, and I'm not expecting big points the next couple of weeks for sure. I've just got to hold my breath, and if I don't get Sean Johnson, then I'm playing Luke Brooks, and I just got to hope he can jag something. Put a second rower through for a try and, you know, get somewhere close to 40. I'd be stoked with that, especially against Penrith. I'm a happy Olakuatu owner and happy with that junk time try last week to bump his score right up. He looks like scoring a try every week. So happy there. Ben Trbojevic, I don't think you need to trade the bloke. The fact he's dual, don't worry about the cash. The fact he's dual, he's going to be so handy for you. So I wouldn't be trading out Ben Trbojevic. The numbers aren't there. Ideally, you're not playing him, and if I can help it, I won't play him this week. Because I can see a 20 in his, you know, coming up for sure. Ben Trbojevic, 26. You can see it right now come Monday. So I'm keeping him. I'm not planning on trading him anytime soon. The money-making is not really there, but just the jewel is so handy. So he's not going anywhere. Other than that, not a lot doing for Manly. At Penrith, Tungo looks a premium option. Taylor May's been, I've read a few comments and things that, you know, he's on the block. I don't know. The scoring hasn't been great for Taylor May. It was earlier in the year, and he looked great. Everyone was patting themselves on the back. He was an obvious buy from the start. And yeah, wasn't letting us down. Last few weeks hasn't been great. The ball hasn't really been going to the left a lot. They've been going a lot to the right. Expect that to even out a little bit. And I'm expecting May to get a plus 50 score this week just with base and power. I don't even know if he scored a try. So, you know, he's due. So, yeah, I'm not too concerned about Taylor May. I wouldn't be trading him out. Surely you've got bigger issues than Taylor May in your side. I wouldn't be trading that bloke out. Again, Yo is another one in that Carrigan mold and in that Tohu mold. If you want to strengthen that second row, Yo's your guy. Close game. I don't think the Panthers blow them away at all. I think Manly have got a lot to prove. They don't win, but it's close. 20 points to 18. Let's go with the Panthers. Right, the last game, and this is a good game. This the Saturday night. The Saturday night game, and it's a beauty. And it's the Dolphins headlining things. They are hosting the up and about West Tigers at Suncorp. This should be really good. I'm looking forward to this game. Benji Marshall up against Wayne Bennett, up against his brother as well, Marshall King. So a lot of storylines here. Two teams that are near the top of the table that people probably weren't expecting to be, and to be fair, probably won't be in 4 or 5 weeks' time, but they're here now, so let's enjoy it and celebrate it. The Dolphins, Hammer at the back, Asako, Avarillo, Farnworth, Bostock, Nikarima, Katoa, Jesse Bromwich, Marshall King, Flegler, Kafusi, Aiken Stone with the Plath. Really nasty hip drop tackle, and you get 2 or 3 weeks, he gone. And Stone comes in there, so an easy replacement. Kerr, Donohoe, Nichols, and Bromwich on the bench. At the Tigers, Bullis, Staines, Fatape, Olam, Tupo, Sullivan is playing 5'8 with the young fella Galvin. Same thing, nasty hip drop a couple of weeks for him, which is a shame because, you know, Jizzy looks good. Caesar at halfback, Utoi Kamanu, Korosau Klemmer, Papali, Bateman, and Bolle. Finu Seifar Twal, and the other Finu, the half, comes onto the bench. Well, Latu is the 14. He's the half. Sione is the, excuse me, sorry again. Sione is the big forward there. Look at this Dolphins side. I don't have any of the Dolphins, so I missed out on all the points and the money generation last week that the Hammer, that Bostock provided. So if you're on those blokes, one of or both of them, happy days, scoring points, making money. How good. I was originally going to go Mulatalo to Hammer, and I would have been so stoked because he looked so good, setting up a couple of tries on the left there. But I thought there's more upside in Val Holmes. Hammer's someone I don't know if I can keep for the year. I probably couldn't, even though he looks great. Whereas Val Holmes, I'm very happy owning Val Holmes and probably wouldn't move him out of my side, even during Origin. You saw that last year. He was good during Origin as well. So I went with Holmes. He scored a try off a kick, but the Cowboys were just terrible. And Holmes could explode this week, like he did a couple of weeks ago. So I'm a happy owner. And I think those that don't own wish they did. In saying that, I wish I owned Hammer. So if you got him, happy days. Same with Bostock, and Bostock's still got money to make. He's gone up in price a lot, but he's still got money to make. He's got a really low negative break even. So, you know, if you're on those guys, you're absolutely laughing. Flegler's done a great job too. I talked Flegler up in the preseason. Didn't follow through with it, but he's been great for them. Supercoach-wise, he's doing a good job. And on the field, he's sensational. Other than that, not a lot doing. Josh Kerr he's not a cheapie. He's a mid-ranger. He is dual. And he scored a try last week, I think. Yeah, and he's a big unit, and he offloads. He does everything. So happy days there. This Dolphins team, it's easy to say they're well coached. Hello, it's Wayne Bennett. You know, I'm really happy that they're playing well. I'm really happy that they just seem to they seem to be clicking. I know they were playing the Titans last week and everyone looks good against the Titans, but yeah, they and I think maybe the fact that Katoa is getting more runs under the belt and he looks good. Farnworth makes that team look so much better as well. They're a good side. You know, I think they're a mid-table team. I think they're going to finish anywhere between, I can't rule them out of the top eight, anywhere between, say, 7th and probably 11th, something like that, something in that kind of band. You know, they're good. For an expansion side in their second year, they're going great. At the Tigers, good on them for getting the win. Big win at Paradise. You'll take that. And look, this side's got so much. I mean, not having Galvin could stutter the momentum a little bit because GC looks good and Sullivan doesn't. So, and I think they signed Sullivan 4 years for two or 2.2. That's fucking crazy money for that bloke. I saw on 360 last night, you know, there's going to be a, you know, they've obviously got Leroy coming. I forgot about Dewey. They've got Dewey as well, let alone the fact that there's Galvin and there's Caesar. So they might look to move him on. Who's taking up that contract? who's gonna take that Sullivan contract off the Tigers unless the Tigers are paying plenty of freight on it? So, yeah, easier said than done moving on from Sullivan. Why'd they pay that much? Just nuts. I guess they didn't expect Galvin to come in and be great right from the start. But, I mean, it's a good spot for them to be, but still question marks over some of those contracts for sure. Olam is interesting. He's playing really well. He's scoring a lot of points. He looks rejuvenated at the Tigers. I'm not convinced I would get him, but he's got money to make and he's a strong player. And I think they'll look to him. I think the Tigers would look to him more than what, say, the Storm have in previous years, where he's kind of just been a cog in the wheel at the Storm. At the Tigers, he'll be a beacon that they look to. So I'm on attack there. So I think there's Olam is a pretty good buy, actually. I don't mind it. He'll make you some money. Tigers are looking pretty good. I don't mind the Olam buy. Utoi Kamanu looks really good. Depending on how you're going in your front row, you could do worse than get him. Coruscant, I think if you were going to get him, you were going to get him last week. What's Coruscant's break even? I have a little wee nosy here. Where are we? Where are your apps? He is 34. Okay, so, yeah, if you're going to get him, you're going to get him last week, weren't you? No attack and still pumped out a half-decent score. I'm happy as a Coruscant owner. And, yeah, big watch to see how Finu goes as well. But whether he breaks into this team, I think they'll bring Galvin straight back, and I think they like having the foil of Caesar there, that experienced head, to partner him in the halves. So just to wait and see there. Fun game. I'm looking forward to this. Dolphins at home. I'll give them the win. Dolphins 22, Tigers 20, and hopefully a fun, exciting, close game. Back in a minute. Righto, Sunday games, and it is the Cowboys hosting the Titans up in Townsville. And, yeah, this game could be a blowout for sure. Look at this Cowboys side reeling off a pretty atrocious performance last week against the Broncos. Drinkwater, Felt, Holmes, Labour, Talangi, Dearden, Townsend, McLean, Robinson, Tamalolo, Finifuliaki, Nanai, and Cotter. Granville, Neem, McIntyre, Jezewski on the bench. The Titans. Campbell gets game number 2 under his belt. Smith Shields is on a wing. Fifita on another wing. So they'll solve their problems. Just drop your 2 wingers for those 2 blokes. Kelly and Brimson in the centres. Foran and Boyd. Fodawaker, Randall, Jolliffe, Haas. Both for more. Aaron Clark is now playing lock forward. Virals, Dave Fifita, Stimson, and Paholu gets a spot. He might be on debut, that bloke. I haven't really heard of him before. So, oh boy, Titans are in trouble. Great scenes after the game last week there. The whiteboard was strategically placed and Desi was on the other side of it and they're all in a big, you know, horseshoe. Very solemn, very sheepish. A few of them really getting rocked up. Tanner Boyd got rocked up and You can see there, Des Hasler, you can see blowing up, walking towards him and really giving it to him. Kept an eye on Tanner to see if he started crying or not. Poor bloke, giving him shit, but poor bloke, far out. He's not the only problem, but he is a problem. But they've got a few there at the Titans. You got to expect the Cowboys bounce back, don't you? They're not going to play. You don't think they're going to play that bad again. God, they made some mistakes. Just throwing the ball around. It was wet as anything. But it was actually when the rain kind of stopped that the Cowboys, a lot of the mistakes happened for them. And Reynolds just had it on a string. Just, God, he kicked so well and made life absolutely brutal for Drinkwater at the back, who might have had 6 or 7 errors. And saying that, he still scored 70-something Supercoach points. Just shows, doesn't it? You can have an absolute shocker of a game and still get a great score. And he scored an unbelievable try. You just see the brilliance that bloke's got. And you got to think Drytrack and Townsville against the Titans. Yummy, yummy, yummy for Drinkwater. Same goes for Holmes. Man, they made so many silly mistakes. You think if they tidy half of that up, they're going to rack up a massive score against the Titans. Dearden, I don't mind Dearden. He's such a good player. That tackle he made was sensational on Cobbo. You know, one of the great tackles. And, you know, I've always cheered for Dearden when he was at the Broncos. And he played really tough. You could see it even a few years ago at the Broncos. But he was in a shit situation there. They screwed him over. They sold him down the river, the poor bloke. I'm really stoked he's bounced back at the Cowboys. I'm a big Tom Dearden fan. Tim Dearden, huge fan. Big Tom Dearden fan. So I was really happy for him and what he did there. That tackle was, yeah, that was sensational stuff. Oh, sensational stuff from Tommy Dearden. Look, Tamalolo, surely if you owned, you don't anymore, so don't worry about it. I'm a Cotter owner. Probably want to see a little bit more. Come on, Rubes, a little bit more. A little bit more, Chief. At the Titans, Campbell was one to watch. He was one where it looked like the 5'8 position was pretty barren, and he was someone you could go to at 400 and something, duel with fullback. And yeah, but geez, do you want any Titans at the moment? Do you want any? Do you even want Dave Fifita? You know? Oh, I don't know. I don't know. If you got Beau for more, do you keep him? Oh, jeez. It's looking dire for this side. Cowboys 38, Titans 18. This score could be anything. Cowboys could put 50 on them. Titans could stand up. Cowboys play bad again, and it's a 20-21 game, something stupid like that. But you got to think the Cowboys will bounce back and really give it to the Titans. On a kind of a random, you don't see too many day games in Townsville. The Cowboys like to have those games on the Saturday night, give everyone from the surrounding region, you know, from, you know, 500-600 Ks away to come in on a Saturday, go watch their Cowboys, and then stay the night in Townsville. You know, it's kind of what happens there. But so a random Sunday afternoon game, see how it goes. Last game, where are we? Oh, we're at the nation's capital. We're at the Raiders, hosting the Eels, two teams with disappointing losses. Probably the Raiders a little more disappointed than what the Eels were. Great to see Sticky doing his thing. Don't change. Don't ever change. Ricky Stewart, one of the journos there with a softly approach, bit of a compliment in there with the question and talking about, I think it might be Matt Tomoko, and saying he played pretty well. And then Sticky's, no one played well. No one deserves a compliment or words to that effect. And he just stone-faced him. It was brilliant. That's great. And I'm not a huge Ricky Stewart fan, but he is great for the game. You always got to watch the presses after a loss, especially, you know, and see what, if he says anything, if he has a whinge, which he will. And yeah, it's great. It's good drama. Let's look at the side. Rapana, Schiller, Tomoko, Chris Savage, Strange. Actually, he said there was going to be changes, and there hasn't been. There's no changes. Fogarty, Papali, Levi, Tapani, Young, Mariota is playing second row because Hosking's out with HIA, and Smithies is your lock. So there's no changes there. He did say after the game, maybe it's just in the heat of the moment, he was going to slash and burn, but obviously not. Starling, Horsburgh, Sasagi, and Solo. That's your bench. At Parramatta, Queen, Sivo, Pennacini, Simonson, Russell, Talangi. He gets another game at 5'8". Talangi's an obvious buy. Don't have to say too much. 200 grand. He's available in the centres. There's every chance he'll get dual. Possibly not this first round of games. Not sure. Was it the rule? I think I heard you got to maybe have at least minimum 3 games in the position. So maybe by round 6, he will get dual, which could be handy with you know, with a bit of strange combo action there between 5'8 and centre. In any case, bring him in. He's bottom dollar. He looked all right. It's not his fault. You can't blame a young guy in his second game and playing in the halves for losing to the Tigers. He's the easiest bring-in you'll ever have all year, I think. Dylan Brown, another game at halfback. I think Brown owners would be pretty disappointed with how he started the year, averaging around 50-ish. Pretty much paid top dollar for Brown, and he hasn't panned out. And I don't expect the points to really come with him playing halfback either. A high break even, I think, over 100, so I can understand the trade out for sure for Dylan Brown. Who are you going to, though? It's, if you've got Brooks and you can maybe, you know, you can maybe bring in Brown to SJ, makes sense if you want to do that. Or you want to stick firm and hope it comes good. But yeah, I don't know about Dylan Brown. Campbell, Gillard, Lussick, Polo, Lane, Madison is now playing second row, which is tasty, but who knows? I guarantee they'll fuck around with that. Hopgood is the lock. Moretti, Greg, Offengawi, Talangi. So you got Talangi there. So yeah, I'm not convinced on Madison. Who knows? Does he after 20 minutes, 30 minutes, go back to the bench? Does he move him to the middle? Who knows what's going to happen there with Ryan Madison? He's such a good Supercoach player, and we're just not getting the best out of him at the moment at Parramatta. Kind of wouldn't mind if he went to another side and became an 80-minute edge forward. How good would that be? Oh, in terms of buys, Gutherson's around 700. I don't have him in that top premium fullback. He's not there yet, even though he's had his hands on the ball and he's going to have a lot to do with the creativity for Parramatta without Mitch Moses. I guess I can get around it. I'm not a fan. He's an effort guy. He's in everything. You know, the whole Parramatta super hypo, too much red cordial, you know, arms in the air waving around like they just don't care, thinking the world's against them and in the ref's face. All that shit just does my head in. So for those reasons, I can't own the Queen. Yep, Talangi, obvious. Lussick, if you've got him, his break-even's in the 50s now. So I was toying with Lussick to Harry Grant, to be honest with you, but that was kind of going against my plan, which was to hope that Brayley can get back to being a starter and pumping out 50s and 60s and getting him at value. And I'm probably going to stick to that plan. So Lussick, you can watch for another week and then move him on next week. Hoping he can get somewhere north of 40 would be handy for a bloke that plays pretty big minutes. In fact, well, Hands isn't in the 17th, so you expect 80 minutes from him. You just need a little bit more from Lussick, but I think it's going to come from a wee short ball, you know, 10 metres out on attack, a wee short ball to one of those big, strong runners that Parramatta possess. Let's hope for some of that. Sean Lane's been averaging about 50. He's been about, meh. He is value, though. He was value at the start, so, you know, just stick with him. I wouldn't be trading Sean Lane out. Just stick with the bloke. Can't go wrong with Hopgood either. Can't go wrong. God, he's such a good player. Over at Canberra, what are you going to do there? Ethan Strange, he's fine. Savage, I actually thought he might have been one of the ones to make way, but he's kept his spot. Danny Levi, if you didn't trade him out, you're happy with that. He keeps scoring tries. He's going to keep making money for you now, so happy days there. Adam Mariota, second row is interesting. He's a prop, so that's an interesting one. Smithies, look, I'm an owner. I'm just going to hold. Hopefully he can do something for me. He's not a priority trade out for sure. Ideally, he'll eventually be a squad player and someone out of my 17 in that, you know, 18, 19, 20 role who I can play during buys and things like that. Ideally, I don't have to play him. Certainly will be this week, though, the way things are rolling. Oh, what are we going to do? Raiders, I can't pick them. They were so bad last week against Cronulla, and you expect a turnaround, but I don't know. Even Parramatta without Moses, I think Parramatta's just got a little bit too much strength. I'm going to go Parramatta 24, Raiders 20 in another close game. And like I said, there's been plenty of them, hoping for plenty of them this week. Back in a minute. All right, time for this.
Question?
Right. Metcalf to Brown or SJ? For me, it is SJ. I would, again, Dylan Brown's been, you know, he hasn't been great. And Sean Johnson, like I said, I saw him last week, watching him closely. He was all over the ball. They got South this week. South is a good matchup. Their defense hasn't been great. I think the Warriors can smash them through the middle and he'll have really good front foot ball. He's then home for Manly, like that one. He's away to the Dragons, home to the Titans. Yum. And then he's got Newcastle as well. So, and we saw he looked really strong against Newcastle just recently. So he's got a really good 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 games. And he has Chooks and the Panthers at Magic Round as a home game at Suncorp, and then the Dolphins. So, I like that. If you're getting in, SJ, it means you don't have one of, or both, if you're being real random, Cleary and Hines. I think you need at least one, preferably both, of Cleary and Hines. So if you get in SJ, do you just want to trade him out again once Cleary's available in round 7? I think if you're getting an SJ, you're holding for that at least that 5-week period there. I really like the SJ buy.
Question?
Right, this one from Pete on the email. Dylan Brown to SJ via Brooks. Worth it or is it sideways? Nope, that's worth it. just talking about how good SJ is going. 662K, break even to 73. I don't think he's going to lose cash at all. I think he's going to be making money. He could be a bridge to Cleary, I guess, if he goes really well. But then if he's going really well, do you want to trade him out? You want to keep him going, don't you? Dylan Brown to SJ via Brooks totally works.
Question?
This guy or girl wants to clean up their CTW. Tua Piki to Talangi. Yep. Bang, totally obvious. And May to Ollum. I don't know about May to Ollum. I think May's worth sticking with. But Ollum, he's 420-odd, negative 40 break even or something nuts like that. So he's going to make money. Oh, May to Ollum, they're about the same price. I guess for Ollum, I guess the money generation's there. Whether Ollum, I think May's a borderline keeper for the year, playing in such a strong team. Ollum, he's still playing for the Tigers. Keep that in mind. I probably don't mind it. If it means it can help you out down the track, maybe if you need to buy Cleary back or something like that, that could work for sure.
Question?
Right, here's a Cam Murray fan. He wants to get Cam Murray. It's his favourite player. But he realizes that KPP or possibly Curran is a smarter trade this week. Go with the head or go with the heart? Oh, boy. You can't go wrong with Cam Murray. It's not like your favorite player is some bloody useless super coach option and you're just going with your heart because you love him, but he's no good at super coach. Cam Murray's really good at super coach as well. Struggling a little bit in a team that's struggling, but yeah. You're going to like Cam Murray regardless whether you have him in your team or not. It's super awesome when he's also in your Supercoach side and going well. But when he's not there and going well, you still love the bloke, don't you? I think KPP is definitely a great option this week. And maybe Curran as well. I'll never tell someone to go with their head over their heart. If Cam Murray's your favourite player and you just want him in your side, go ahead and do it.
Question.
Now, this is another one from Pete on the email. May to Bostock or has the horse bolted? May, I'm going to hold on to May. I don't know to trade him out? I don't know. Yeah, I guess a couple of low scores lately, but Bostock, yeah, he's gone up quite a bit. He's still about 400 grand. He's still got a really low break even. Encouraging signs with the Hammer, you know, putting him through for a couple of tries. That's really good. The Hammer's just not a one-trick pony. He's got a bit to him. So he's still, there's still money to make for Bostock. He's almost in the Ollam mold a little bit. Like I said, though, really, I think May's a borderline keeper for the year. I don't think Bostock is. So, oh, May to Bostock as the horse bolted. It kind of has, but he's still got money to make. I wouldn't do it. I'd hold.
Question.
Love this one. Looking for a real left field option here. Latrell de Gutho or CNK? There must be a Warriors fan here. If you've put in CNK, you want CNK, don't you? So, how much is Charles Nickel Clock today? It's about 680 grand. Coming off a hamstring slash back. Oh, boy. If you want CNK, just get him. You know, if you love the bloke, just get him. I think Latrell's worth trading out. To Gutho, you know, you might like Gutho too. So I think if you like them both, you know, you obviously do have your two options there. Get Gutho. I think Gutho's a better buy. He's going to have a lot more of his hands on the ball, a lot more of the creativity for Parramatta. But, yeah. And there's just a bit of risk there with CNK. You probably want to see how he goes first and foremost. Getting his legs playing first grade again and, you know, getting that flow going with SJ and all that kind of thing. So I'd probably go Gutho, but I've got a feeling if you've got CNK in your question, that's who you want. So if you want him, just get him.
Question?
Back in a minute. All right, guys, let's have a look at the bets. Last week came up short. Either way, parlay, Roosters, Panthers. Yep, that one saluted. Sharks and Raiders. It would have if Nicho Hynes wasn't kicking every single goal from the sideline. Sharks ended up winning by 14, I think. So that one missed out. And then I had Manly to beat the Dragons and the Warriors to beat the Knights. Nice and simple, but Manly let us down. So the $100 is gone. This week, $100, two bets, $35 on a Friday soggy unders. Both games on Friday to go under 38.5. With the rain, I'm all over this one, paying $3.15. So 35 returns 110.27. And I saw the Panthers are paying $1.60 or $1.61. So unless there's something I don't know, and probably they know more than I do, but the Panthers paying $1.60, yes, please. And parlay that in with the Cowboys just to win against the Titans at $1.15. The two together are $1.85. So 65 returns 120.34. That feels a bit too easy. Even though I've only picked the Panthers by two, Panthers just don't lose. So, and I can't see the Titans being the Cowboys. So I love that bet. So both returning, at least getting your money back if one of them hits. Hopefully they both hit. Good luck if you are having on a punt. Do so this week. If you're having a punt this weekend, do so responsibly. Back soon. Rightio, we're almost done here for the round five preview here on the NRL Supercoach Therapy Podcast. Hey, thanks very much for listening. Be a friend, tell a friend. Hit me up on nrlsctherapy@gmail.com or via the question on Q&A there on Spotify. If you've got any questions, oh, what am I going to do this week for trades? It's a tricky one. I've got Metcalf, so he's got to go, and it's just whether I go for a half, whether I go for Sean Johnson. If I get Sean Johnson, I'm probably just going to want to trade him out in a couple of weeks when Cleary's fit, or I hold him and I maybe trade out Nico. We'll wait and see. Or I go down. I've got Strange. I could chuck into the halves there and I can, you know, get someone. I kind of want to get KPP. I can do that via Bencher Bojovic, move him down and get KPP. Obviously, Talangi is a someone to get as well, so I can go Tua Picky to him. I could go Arthurs to him, but I may be forced to play Arthurs tonight as reluctant as I am, and hope that somehow he can get over the line against the Storm, who, you know, like, yeah, they Penrith didn't score against them, but then the Warriors almost scored 30 on them. So, I don't know. Tricky one there, but yeah, there are really good trade options this week, with headline by Talangi. I just think you've got to get him in. There's an easy way. There must be some deadwood somewhere in your side you could trade to him. That one makes a lot of sense. So, hey, good luck to everyone this weekend with Supercoach. Hopefully some of us can crack 1,000. That'd be nice, wouldn't it? I'm actually not holding my breath because my halves are atrocious. I'm going to be playing Luke Brooks and probably Ethan Strange if I don't get Johnson. So not holding my breath on a decent score this week. If I can just hold on, not drop down the rankings too much and get my shit together and start climbing from there. Yeah, hopefully you have a little bit more luck than I do. Enjoy the footy this weekend. I'll be back next week to talk over everything that happened in round 5. Thanks, gang. Catch you later.